Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining me here at the Life in the Wick podcast. I am your host, Tiffany Spaulding, and we are about to embark on podcast number 9 in the series from Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life. So we have already talked about rules 1 through 8. If you haven't listened to those, I would encourage and invite you to download those podcasts and then let me know what you think about them. The title of the chapter, The Rule, assume that the person you are listening to might know something that you don't. It seems pretty simple, right? It seems like something that we've been told by our parents and our teachers and maybe our coworkers or our bosses our whole lives. But what Jordan Peterson is asking you to do is to listen, not to evaluate the speaker's position, but to become aware of your own, which is a completely different level of thinking about what's happening in that conversation, about what you're hearing. His goal is for you to become aware of what you don't know, right? And how it might fit in your thought process and what you're thinking about, and possibly change what you're thinking about. Truly listening is not evaluating what you're hearing, it's hearing what you're hearing. So rather than thinking about their position, really hearing what you're hearing and then questioning what you don't know. And there's a big risk to this, which is why we have a hard time doing it. And that risk is that it may change us, and change is frightening. I mean, if you think about it, if the things that you believe, the things that you thought began to change, then that would have an effect on your whole history. If everything that you, well, not even everything, if anything, 50%, 10% of what you thought you knew and how you made decisions in life, you found out was wrong, that can be very impactful on our lives. And that is scary and frightening. And it is one of the reasons people tend to shy away from actually listening and evaluating and then considering how those things fit their life. I know I've said this before, you know, there used to be a plaque over my desk in my old office that said, "Don't believe everything you think." And when I put that up there, it was in reference, and a lot of you know I was a product designer for years. It was in reference to that. Like, just because I thought this was a good idea and I thought that it worked well didn't actually mean that it was true. And I need to seek out other people to talk about that product to find out, does this really work? Is this really a good idea? And I found out a lot of times that I was wrong. Luckily, I was surrounded with people who felt like they could say to me, "No, that's not a good idea," or "That's not going to work." And I never thought about applying it to thinking, right, until much later. But it is ultimately what's happening here. Thinking about how you think, thinking about how other people think, and thinking about how that all ties together with what you believe and how you move forward in your life. One of the things that he mentions in here is sometimes you have to change the way you understand everything to properly understand one thing. And that could change everything. So again, that idea of stepping outside of everything I believe and thinking differently about it, hearing differently from someone, and then rather than just dismissing that because it isn't what I believe or it isn't what I think, evaluating what I think up against what they're telling me, right? Why do I think the way that I think? Why is this a better way to think or a different way to think? Or maybe it's not, but without that process, you can't actually come to that, right? Without that process, it's not thinking at all. It's one of these other types of conversations, which are also addressed in the book, that there are conversations about persuasion and banter and lectures and giving out direction, there are all these other things that happen when you talk that aren't listening, in that sense of truly sort of finding out what those, the other people you're talking to are thinking, and why they think that, and how that affects how you think. And I have an example of this in kind of in the real world, where I used to get my hair cut in Seattle. My hairdresser had an assistant, and she was younger than me, and she had lots of tattoos. She was heavy. She dressed a little funky. She had a weird haircut. She had a ring in her nose and some other things that are a little bit out of the box for people my age. She lived in the same area that I lived in, which is an area where there were a lot of older people. It was an old neighborhood that hadn't yet sort of, you know, how they sort of turn over. And she said to me, oh, when she found out where I lived, oh, I live in that neighborhood. Those people are awful. Those old people, they're this, they're that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I had never had this experience that she was having with these people that lived near me. Well, I go into Starbucks and they just look at me and they look at my tats and they don't like me and they don't do this, they don't do that. And I said, well, have you ever stopped to think about their perception of you and why that is? And she goes, I know why it is. They don't like my tats. They don't like me. And I said, well, have you ever thought that, you know, in their upbringing and their lives, tats represented different things than they do now, right? It was people who were in gangs and motorcycle gangs and criminals and in their day and age. And then occasionally the military guy, my dad in that group with the U.S. Navy anchor tattoo. So their perception of your tattoos and the way you dress is in conflict with who you are, but they don't know that because they've spent a lifetime believing something. And I said, and the other thing that might be happening is when you go into that Starbucks, you, because you feel like that's how they perceive you, you may be behaving that way, right? Not being kind and gentle and warm and welcoming and friendly, but you may be putting off that you don't appreciate them and you don't like their perceptions. And there's all that going on. Have you ever thought about that? She goes, you're wrong. You're wrong about that. They're mean. They're hateful. I don't have to behave anyway. I don't have to bend down to them. I don't have to treat them anyway. They don't like me and I know it, and I'm not going to be nice to them. And I just thought to myself, wow, this is amazing. This is a young person who cannot have a conversation about something different than she believes. And as I watched what was happening and what is happening in society, it happens a lot where you can't have a conversation with somebody that's different than what you believe or they believe. They won't even entertain that idea of stepping out of what they believe to evaluate their perspective on what you're saying and then think about what you're saying. So it's rampant right now. And it's a little bit sad that we can't do that. We can't even, it seems like, agree to disagree on things anymore in a kind and civil way. But this whole experience with her is what is important to me, I guess, to realize that you are losing out, right? By not evaluating, by not thinking about how you think, by not stepping outside of yourself and thinking about those things, you are losing out. So this chapter kind of brought all this stuff up for me. Stephen Covey, Seek First to Understand, Then Be Understood. When I first read that book 30 years ago, that was mind-blowing to me. It is still something I think about regularly to this day, and regularly realize how difficult that is. How difficult is it to really step back from what you want to be true, from what you want people to do for you, with you, and understand first what they want, what they need, what their concerns are, whatever it is. And then all of that, all of what you've learned from them, there's a pretty good chance it's going to change what you want, what you need, and how you're going to communicate those things. So all of that stuff, really important in this chapter. Also important, some important parts of the chapter talked about talking, and that's a way for people to organize their brains, organize their thoughts, maintain their sanity, is having conversations and talking with other people. And when you're in one of those conversations, not jumping on or attacking or dismissing someone because some of what they say seems to be in conflict, right? So keeping in mind that as people try to bring their ideas to life, to talk about their ideas, there is conflict in within those ideas. And there are little bits that need to be worked out, rather than being assaulted by you, the listener, taking those things in and then seeing how they work out later, or asking questions about them later to just clarify. But a lot of what happens in your head needs to come out your mouth or out your hand via writing, so you really can clarify those ideas and clarify those thoughts and be better at communicating. So keep that in mind as you're talking to people. It might not be perfect. They might not be perfect. None of us are, I guess. And then another thing that's really important to remember, that not all talking is thinking. There are other kinds of conversations. There are lectures, and there are there's banter, and there are you know, like sort of one-upsmanship, dominance, persuasion kinds of conversations. And so not every one of those is worth the time it takes to really listen and evaluate, right? You don't have to be doing that all the time. But when things are important, that is when you really want to participate. Page 241, true thinking is complex and demanding. It requires you to be an articulate speaker, a careful and judicious listener at the same time. It involves conflict, and conflict involves negotiation and compromise. And so that is also really important. If you're in a true conversation, if you really want to learn and think about what's going on and to have a good conversation, then you need to realize that there is going to be conflict and there is going to be negotiation. And that is how things get worked out on so many levels, right? Whether it's a business, a relationship, any of those things, a true conversation, there's going to be to get to some resolution, get to understanding, there's going to be some conflict and negotiation and compromise for everybody that's involved in that. I think probably one of the biggest takeaways for me in this chapter is the idea that you could be dramatically changed by this type of thinking and this type of conversation. And that's one of the reasons people don't do it, because change is freaking scary, right? We have lived our lives believing something, acting a certain way, doing certain things, and to have a conversation and really listen and risk that that might change you is scary. It's terrifying to lots of us. So I think that was one of the sort of the biggest things that I took away from the chapter, was this could be scary, like actually doing this work and participating in thinking in this conversation, in truly listening to someone else, could be dramatically affect how I think and how I move forward with my life. So with all of that said, now what's important about this chapter? How are you going to apply it to your life? Well, the answer is right in the chapter. There's a description in the chapter, I think is Carl Rogers, if I am remembering correctly, but he gives us a really easy thing to do. Before you respond, when you're in a conversation with someone, before you respond to what that person has said, tell them what you heard. Say, okay, before I respond, I just want to make sure that I clearly understand your concerns, the problem, whatever it is. What I heard you say was, and then lay it out for them. Okay, and then ask them, is that correct? Have I correctly understood your position, what you're trying to say? And they may say no, they may say yes, but they may say no, because this isn't only you listening. As I talked about earlier, part of it is them formulating their thoughts and getting the words out there. And the idea that they said something that was unclear, maybe incorrect, maybe not exactly what they wanted to say, that's going to be solved with you repeating it back to them as well. And they'll be able to clarify, no, this is really what I meant, or no, you didn't hear me. What I said was this. And then you can move forward with the rest of the conversation. But it's a brilliant way to stop, take a breath, and make sure that you are really addressing what is going on or what needs to be going on or what the problem is. And that simple pause, another thing about your brain, which I know some of you have heard me talk about previously, is when you stop and give your brain a moment to pause on something, your brain does a phenomenal amount of work, right? The human brain can do a ton of work in a very short amount of time if you give it the time to do it, and it doesn't take a lot of time at all. So giving that pause is also going to allow your brain to go to work and really think about things and put those ideas together for yourself as well. All right, my friends, that wraps up another Life in the Wick podcast, number 9 of Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life. Assume that the person you are listening to might know something that you don't. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm glad you were here with me. Please feel free to leave a comment, like, subscribe, hit the reminders bell so you'll know the next time we put out a Life in the Wick podcast. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the last 3 rules in the 12 Rules for Life book. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day.